There is something wrong with our baby, Waiheke Island, our baby Waiheke Island. It's amazing, but it's not entirely rubbish-free. And in the studio with me now, very special guest, Adam Watton. Adam and his partner, Pippa Griffiths, from and own Waiheke Dive and Snorkel. Waiheke Dive and Snorkel, I suggest it might have been in the village about a year. That just suggests how long I've been in Ostend, because Adam's just informed me. In fact, they've been in the village nearly 2 years now. So welcome to Waiheke Radio, Adam Watton from Waiheke Dive and Snorkel.
Hey, kia ora, Greg. Thanks for having me along.
Kia ora, you're very welcome. I've asked Adam to come up this morning because I want to talk about, well, we thrive on the marine environment on Waiheke, of course. And one of the many things that Adam and Pippa do is they run community dive cleanups. And while you can train with them, you can hire stuff with them, you can and you can go snorkeling and diving with them, you can also join them for these community day cleanups. They're fairly regular, and there's one coming up on late January, and we'll talk to Adam exactly about what goes on then. But first of all, how many have you done so far?
Oh, that's a good question. So we
roughly
30, 40?
You've done 30 or 40 dive cleanups already.
Something like that, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so before we get on to the bad news, what's the good news? Is there some good community support for this?
Yeah, totally. The great thing that we're seeing is that huge support. So people are really keen to come on over. Yeah. That's particularly prevalent for locals who are divers. They're getting in the water with us and they're doing their part. But also visitors, tourists, they're all really keen to get in and do their thing.
You leave from Matiete or...?
Normally, we go from the beaches.
Oh, yeah.
So we tend to focus on those northern-facing, really kind of high-traffic beaches.
So you're diving off the beach, not boats?
Yep, straight from the beach.
Straight from the beach. So you're talking about the northern coast, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oniroa, Palm Beach, Onatangi. Do you go out East End?
No, we generally don't yet, just from a combination of kind of access and timing. And I think really the resources and time we put in are probably best on those high traffic areas. So Little Oniroa, Palm Beach, all those kind of spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'll dive off the beach and you'll have obviously some instructor level people, so sort of supervisors.
Yep, yep.
And a bunch of divers.
Correct.
And some snorkelers.
Yep, and snorkelers and beach crew as well.
And a beach crew. So we'll come to the beach crew because that's for those of us who don't dive.
Absolutely.
We can still get involved in this. And I think it's an incredible community initiative. And if there's one bunch of people who should clean up Waiheke, it's Waiheke Islanders, isn't it? I mean, I know a lot of tourists bring it, but we are the kaitiaki and we do need to look after our marine environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's our home, right? So when we can see our home needs a bit of love, we should give it to it.
And we don't have any problem recognizing the pollution on land, but we don't see the stuff under the water. So, Adam, how bad is it?
It varies, is the honest answer. So when we first started off just over 2 and a bit years ago now, we were going out and we were finding really big things. So big lumps of outboard motors or big bits of fiberglass hull that have smashed on the rocks, all this kind of thing as time's going on.
Yeah.
And as we've got those big things out, we're just finding things are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Mm.
So now we're really pulling out a lot of very, very small plastic fragments, monofilament.
How do you pick up a plastic fragment in the water? Have you got nets? Or?
Yeah. So with the divers, they're in the buddy teams, the two of them, or in the snorkelers in teams together.
Yeah.
And generally one of them carries a netting bag to collect everything and acts as a spotter.
Yeah.
And then the other one tends to be the one that actually picks things up.
Goes and picks it up. Yeah, right. And so you feel that you might have cleared up some of the bigger stuff. Obviously not everything, because it's moving around the ocean all the time. Presumably it's getting rolled in by the tides anyway.
Yeah.
So you can clean it up and you go back 6 months later and maybe there's more stuff there, right?
Totally. And that's one of the reasons why we do the same areas over and over and over and over.
Is that an endless... I don't want to sound negative, but is that an endless task?
Absolutely. I think even if, you know, you have the greatest kind of change in people's behaviours and the best marine love and protection you can think of, I think there's always going to be that some work that needs to be done.
Yeah, of course. And eventually it'll drift up the coast, around the coast. So it's just a matter of stopping it going into the water and cleaning up what's there. And although that might seem like an impossibly large task, it's like eating an elephant, right? You just start at the toe.
Yeah, you just keep going. And there's things we can do to stop it getting into the water, which is fantastic. For example, there's all the litter traps that have been installed in a lot of the drains around the island so far.
Yeah.
And that's made a big difference. We noticed the drop in the amount of rubbish and stuff we were finding in the water.
So what drains have been it's a grate, is it? Or?
Yeah, so they've designed this, they're kind of like a mesh trap that goes underneath the grates
in
the drainage areas.
Yeah.
And it was a project funded by the local board couple years ago, perhaps.
Okay, so like down at Matiet here at the Greats.
There's quite a
few. Because, of course, we don't have a lot of stormwater drains going straight to the sea because we don't have a lot of stormwater drains.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, we still have some.
Yeah.
Have we got those mesh traps happening on the mainland?
They're coming slowly. So apparently there are some very big, kind of large-scale industrial ones deep in Auckland.
Oh, yeah.
But then they are semi-effective.
Yeah, yeah.
And the smaller ones, kind of the frontline defence, they're coming along, which is really good.
Yeah, Auckland's a little bit behind the rest of the world. We are an incredibly environmentally conscious country, I suppose, but we still have these major black spots like Auckland's, the mixing of sewage and stormwater at high rain events, which are called storms. And the council's been working on that for years, but still got a long way to go, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in terms of, and then you guys actually pay for the disposal of this rubbish.
Yeah, totally. So what we can put in, like in public bins, and that kind of bits and pieces, we do, which is great. Anything particularly large that doesn't work like that, like I think our biggest one was we actually found most of a hull at one point.
Oh my goodness, like a dinghy.
About 2.5 meters of dinghy we pulled out in one go.
Yeah.
And so it has to go somewhere, right? Yeah. So yeah, we pop it in the van down to the waste transfer station and pop it in there.
No support from the local board for that.
I'll be totally honest, we haven't asked for it.
Oh, yeah, good. Well, fine. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Well, I do get the impression that without turning this into a free ad for Waikato and Snorkel, and frankly, I don't care, that you guys do seem to be embedded within the community in a sense, and you're prepared to do your bit, and you're getting good feedback from the community and people. How many people on average will join you on a cleanup day?
Good question. So probably 8 or so divers.
Yeah, that's a good number.
Yeah, but also we intentionally restrict it down just so we can
manage
our management and supervision as well. Like, with our staff on the shore, we want to make sure everyone's nice and safe, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then snorkel team and beach cleanup team at the same time. So.
Yeah, right. And there's one coming up on January 25th?
25th.
25th of January, so that's a month away. Time to make some plans, clear some space to join Waikato Dive and Snorkel on the 25th of January. Where are you targeting then? Do you know? Have you got a plan yet?
I haven't made my decision just yet. What we tend to do...
Is it weather dependent?
Weather and also what we see. So in that kind of, particularly the week leading up to it, if we spot any big items in the water while we're going along, and we can't get them out ourselves, we tend to make a note of where everything is, and then choose it for that date.
Yeah, right. So, and the southern side at all?
So we haven't done much on the southern side so far.
Yeah. Rocky Bay would be an opportunity because it's quite shallow. Well, it gets a real sou'wester roll in there, doesn't it? But it's almost enclosed, I suppose, and you're working off the regional park, so it would be quite nice to have that clean.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see what's around there as well.
Absolutely, it would.
And get that information.
Yeah. Mm. We'll check out your Rocky Bay people, see how clean you've been. Adam, thank you so much for coming in. You here's the free plug for you. You've got, for a start, Waiheke Dive and Snorkel are the winners of a PADI, that's the Professional Association of Dive Instructors Green Star Award for your environmental commitment. It makes sense to me. It makes sense. So while lots of bouquets and flowers to you guys, being divers is you're automatically an environmentalist, aren't you? That's my memory of diving and as a child.
Yeah, I just said so. And we're kind of, I see us as kind of being the front line. You know, particularly with the team, we're in the water almost every day. So we can see where things are shifting and changing.
Yeah.
And for my mind, it just makes sense to use that information, use those tools.
You're the guys down there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can see what's going on. So let's make the most of that.
Yeah.
And let's do the very best we can to keep the water in good condition.
You have a great positive energy about it. You're not overwhelmed by it.
No, not at all. Like, I think you do what you can do. At the end of the day, you choose your battles, you do what you can do, and then you celebrate those wins and successes, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Adam Mawson, thank you so much for coming into Waikato Radio this morning. January the 25th, folks. Yep, I'll be there, I promise. So January the 25th, keep an eye on the website.
Yes.
Yep. So if you Google Waikato Dive and Snorkel, their website is very informative, not just about the commercial stuff they offer, but also about these environmental initiatives run by Adam and Pippa. And presumably, if you want to start off snorkeling, the Waiheke Dive and Snorkel can also take you through to the next level and train you up as a diver and so on.
Absolutely.
So these things are connected. Your commercial and your environmental edges are connected because you want people to dive and you want people to clean up.
Yeah.
I think I might be a bit old. But I'll be there on the beach team. So
fantastic.
So the beach team picks it up from the divers?
What we do is...
And cleans the beach.
Exactly. Combination. So we have them there to help the divers. Quite often the divers will come back with something big and heavy.
Yeah.
And of course, then they're wearing all the heavy gear and that kind of bits and pieces too. Yeah. So we need a bit of hand. Yeah. But also, you know what? While we're there, let's do a good solid beach clean as well. Let's stop any more going in while we're getting out.
January 25, folks, go to the Waiheke Dive and Snorkel website. Adam Motton, thank you very much for coming into Waiheke Radio this morning. Saturday is a big day for these guys, so I really appreciate it.